April 27, 2011 brought one of the worst tornado outbreaks in the history of Alabama. With the fifth anniversary of that date approaching, Alabama Power CEO Mark Crosswhite reflects on that day and the way the state rebounded and recovered. He spoke to the Birmingham Kiwanis Club on Tuesday, April 5th.
Today, as we're reflecting back on the five-year anniversary, I want to talk about how utilities across the country work together to restore service when we have problems, spend a little time about what actually happened on April 27th and what the state went through, and then tell you how we're applying the lessons of what we learned today to make service better. Now, I think we're fortunate to live in Alabama. We have wonderful people, beautiful landscapes, temperate climate. But I've got to admit, we have our share of bad weather. Alabama has seen outbreaks of violent weather throughout its recorded history. Perhaps the worst of those violent weather storms we face are tornadoes. The first official record of a tornado was in 1794, a quarter century before we became a state. In 1884, Alabama was part of the famous Enigma tornado outbreak. Over a two-day period, at least 50 twisters struck 10 different states. 13 people lost their lives here in Jefferson County from those storms. In March of 1932, during the very worst part of the Great Depression, Alabama experienced the most deadly tornado outbreak in Alabama's history. 300 people were killed in Alabama then. And we've seen some severe weather lately, although not to those historic levels. Since Christmas, we've had three tornadoes touch down in Birmingham alone. So we have lots of experience with bad weather in Alabama. We always have. And that means we have lots of experience for our employees at Alabama Power. Alabama Power employees are known across the electric industry for their ability to restore service in all sorts of weather. Every year, our industry association, the Edison Electric Institute, recognizes utilities that have gone above and beyond the call of duty in restoring service in bad weather. Alabama Power has won more of those awards than any other utility, a total of 16. Now, when we have an issue with our service, we will first use our own resources to get your power back on. If we believe a storm's only going to affect a portion of the state or a portion of our customers, then we will move our resources and our people to that area of the state and be ready to go as soon as it's safe to get in and start work. If we need more help to bring the lights back on, the first thing we do is call our sister companies in the Southern Company system. If we then decide we need even more help, then we call on other utilities to come help us. Now, utilities have had something we call mutual assistance agreements for many years. Under those agreements, we pledge to come help each other when we have a major outage. Those agreements also provide that the utility that says come help is going to bear all the costs. We pay for all the costs associated with the people and the equipment that's sent to help us, and the other utilities do the same. Over the years, we've received assistance from utilities all over the country, and we've provided assistance to utilities all over the country. Now, typically, assistance does come from nearby. You know, we want to get the service, we want to get the lights back on as quickly as possible. Lengthy travel would cause delays. But when we see a storm is going to affect a major part of the country, or the restoration time period is going to be protracted, then other parts of the country will send help to us. Our crews have been as far north as Chicago. They've been west to Louisiana and Texas. They've been up into the mid-Atlantic. We've been to the Floridas and Carolina very many times. We've been into the Caribbean. Now, the best example of a far-reaching assistance effort came in 2012 in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. Utilities across the country sent help to the mid-Atlantic and northeastern states at that time. Some crews from California were actually airlifted in on military transport planes. Alabama Power crews, well, our crews headed to Virginia, New York, and New Jersey. Even today, we still get messages from our friends in New Jersey where we were able to restore power after it had been out for 10 days. Those folks sort of adopted Alabama Power. Now, with that background about how utilities work together, let me turn to the tornadoes of April 2011. When you ask people to identify the most destructive storms to ever affect the South, most people jump to Katrina in 2005. But the storm that actually caused the most damage to Alabama power system happened the year before, and it was Ivan in 2004. Ivan left more than 825,000 customers of ours in the dark. That's 60% of our customer base. It took us 9 days to get everyone's power back on and after Ivan. Now, the tornadoes and storms of April 27th, they disrupted service to about half that number of customers. But the damage they did to our electric system was far worse. In fact, it was worse than the damage caused by Katrina and Ivan combined. The 2011 tornadoes did more damage to Alabama Power's electric system than any other storm in our 110-year history. They damaged or destroyed more than 3,000 transformers. They destroyed more than 7,600 power poles. We had transmission towers knocked over, and we had substations wiped completely off the map. Despite those challenges, our team restored power in just 7 days. So how'd we do it? Let me start 2 days earlier, on April 25th, that's a Monday. On Monday, the Weather Service predicted a moderate risk of severe weather on the 27th. By the next day, the forecast had shifted to a slight risk of severe weather Wednesday morning and a moderate risk of severe weather Wednesday afternoon. At 8:20 Wednesday morning, the first wave of storms passed through the state. It knocked out power to 270,000 customers. While our crews immediately went to work, by midday, we had restored service to 100,000 customers. Around 10 that morning, while the crews were still in the field restoring service from that first wave of storms, the National Weather Service warned us of a potential, and I quote, Armageddon weather event for that afternoon. Now, that was language we had never heard before from our friends at the Weather Service. It was clear that we were facing the possibility of the storm like we had never seen. So I've just told you about how we all worked together in the utility industry. We knew from experience that we were going to need lots of help. So at afternoon, we started asking our neighbors to send assistance. We received commitments from more than 1,700 workers from companies in nearby states. At 5 p.m. that afternoon, folks in the corporate headquarters had to take shelter. That's when an EF4 tornado passed just 2 miles north of right here where we are now. Winds from that tornado exceeded 190 miles per hour. Some of you probably remember watching it on television. It was horrifying to see those storms unfold live in front of us on our TV screens. Here are a few facts to remind you about some of the damage we saw. 62 tornadoes touched down in Alabama that day. 62. Our annual average is 22 tornadoes. The paths of those tornadoes extended 692 miles and varied from 50 yards wide to 1.5 miles wide. At the peak, we had 400,000 customers out at Alabama Power. More than 4 million feet of our wire was knocked down. That's enough to go from Birmingham to Washington, D.C. The recovery cost for Alabama Power alone was $203 million. It was not only the most damaging storm in our history, it was the most expensive. 41 of the state's 67 counties were declared disaster areas. But the most sobering statistic is this one, 247 fatalities. It's trivial to talk about any other number when that many people lost their lives that day. Thousands more were injured. Now, as soon as it was safe, our folks were on the ground, working. Our crews are essentially first responders, so it's not unusual for them to arrive at the site of a disaster before police or firemen or other emergency personnel can arrive. I told you we knew we'd need help. Well, our requests for assistance were answered. More than 50 companies from 19 different states came to support our recovery operations. They came from as far away as Michigan and Wisconsin. By day two, we had 3,200 outside people helping us restore service. By day four, we had around 6,000 people. Now, the logistics efforts of a storm restoration are fairly similar to military operations. We feed and shelter the additional crews. we move in equipment and supplies to where they're needed. For this storm, we handled housing in several ways. We put some out-of-state crews in hotels and motels, but there weren't nearly enough rooms to house everyone. Hotels were filled with people who had lost their homes. So we set up cots in gymnasiums and armories. We brought in special sleeping trailers. And if you look at that trailer, you'll see bunks stacked three high. Those aren't ideal conditions for people who are working 16 hours a day to get your power back on. But the fact is, it's the best we could do. We set up staging areas, 11 in all, with feeding tents, equipment supply yards, and satellite communications. Our largest staging area was at Shelton State Community College in Tuscaloosa. In Haleyville, it was an old armory. In Ragland, it was a high school football stadium. And in Jasper, we used an airport. Now, we know it's critical to restore power as quickly as possible, and technology helps us do that. Our meters helped us track almost immediately where the worst damage was, because those meters weren't sending back a signal. They also helped us pinpoint where customers were back up after we completed work in a specific area. After our restoration effort was complete, we also knew from our meters how many homes were totally destroyed or damaged so severely that customers couldn't take electric service. There were about 10,000 of our customers in that terrible situation. In some places, our electric grid switched the flow of electricity around disrupted areas and restored service automatically. We have equipment on our wires and poles that can detect trouble and then reroute power around bad spots. The grid also sends back information to our control center so we can get right to work on isolating and fixing problems. Now, I mentioned we had substations that were critically damaged during the tornadoes. So we were able to bring in mobile substations on the back of semi-truck trailers. We used aerial imagery, similar to what you see on Google satellite maps, to confirm the damage to our system. This was especially helpful in remote and hard-to-access locations. Now keep in mind that there were trees down everywhere. Roads were blocked. There were many places we just couldn't get to right away. Today, we might consider using drones. We can use drones to safely and efficiently scout out our transmission lines and distribution lines to see the extent of damage. Our folks are among the leaders in the whole utility industry of being able to do that right now. Now, technology also allowed us to quickly expand our ability to communicate with you, our customers, through automation and by adding more customer service reps to our system. During the first 3 days of the storm, April 27th through the 29th, we fielded over 400,000 customer calls. By the end of the month, we had handled 1 million. That's about double our normal volume of calls. Storm communications also means communicating effectively with customers through the media and through social media. We know that when the power goes out, we're at the top of mind. You want to know when your service is going to be back on, and you expect the information that we provide to be accurate. Now, it seems strange to say it now, but in 2011, Alabama Power did not have a Facebook page. We had just begun to start using Twitter. Now, in the days before and after the storm, we sent out more than 550 outage and safety messages on Twitter. And through the power of social media, those messages were retweeted over and over and over again, ultimately reaching tens of thousands of our customers. It made us believers in social media. Today we use Facebook, Twitter. We have our own digital news platform called Alabama News Center that we can use to communicate with our customers. We use our Shorelines website and our Shorelines app to communicate with the people on the lakes. We can tell them about rising lake levels and water releases from our dams during heavy rain events. Now, technology is great, but it's not a magic bullet. It's our people, our expert assessors and engineers, our experienced linemen, our logistical specialists, our well-trained customer service and support personnel. They're the ones who really make the difference in getting the power back on. And for all the employees who aren't involved directly in the restoration effort, well, they take on special duties. It's all hands on deck. Everybody has a special assignment. They help deliver food. feed crews, deliver supplies, they arrange housing, or they talk to our customer through the customer service center. Now, for all the expertise and all the technology applied to the 2011 storms, there were lessons that we learned. We think we've put those lessons, or we've tried to put those lessons, to the test in subsequent storm operations. We've reviewed our procedures, we've improved our training, we've shared best practices with other utilities, we've increased our inventory of transformers, hardware, and other supplies so that we have plenty of them when we need them. We've standardized the layout of our staging area so we can get everything up and running faster. We've upgraded our wireless communications and our GPS capabilities. We've installed iPads and laptop computers in our line crew trucks, trained everyone how to use them. We've added storm shelters at some of our key facilities so that personnel can shelter in place and then be ready to restore service as quickly as possible. Let me close now, just have a minute or two, talking about how people came together during that storm. Now, we were very fortunate. No one from Alabama Power was killed during the storm, but many had their homes damaged or even destroyed. They came to work anyway. They came to work and put off their own recovery to get the lights back on for our customers. That's part of working at Alabama Power. That's expected. Being ready and willing to come out and assist others, no matter what your own personal situation is. In the days and weeks following the storm, our employees also went across the state helping people who lost their homes. I'm truly honored to be part of this team. But it wasn't just people from Alabama Power. All across the state, people were helping each other. Churches, nonprofit organizations, and thousands of people committed their time and resources to support communities across this state. They gathered and distributed food, water, clothing, and supplies. They came out in trucks and trailers to help their friends and neighbors and complete strangers as well. They removed debris. They helped people with paperwork for insurance and federal assistance, and they donated their money. I know that many of you in this room donated your time and your resources to help people affected by the storm, especially in the Hackleburg area. The caring and concern that we saw were just simply incredible. So now, 5 years after the 2011 tornadoes, let's certainly remember the victims, but let's also remember how the whole state came together to help each other during those days. Thank you.
You're going to try to get the Facebook thing. Thank you.
You can't come first, can you?
Yeah, a couple questions.